We're in the middle of, right now, in a theme and in a series called Joyfully Spirit-Filled. And I just have to say, I've been at Emmanuel for quite a few years, and this is my favorite theme slide so far that Pastor Jeff has picked. If you've been at church in the last few weeks, you've seen it. It's an old elderly gentleman on a skateboard, on a longboard, to be exact. And I think it's the coolest theme slide that I've seen so far. And I think it gives good perspective to what the joyfully spirit-filled life looks like. It allows us to do things that are greater than what we may be able to do in the flesh. Amen? And so the last time I saw an older friend, not even close to as old as the gentleman is in the picture that I'm talking about, try to ride a skateboard, he broke something. It didn't end well. And I'm getting up there in years, and so I now know that even, you know, just to do a kickflip and an ollie, you know, takes the wind out of me. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life, the joyfully Spirit-filled life, that's what we've been talking about. Last week, Pastor Phil shared about the Holy Spirit and worship. And I thought it was a wonderful message, talking about the idea that we get to worship with the Holy Spirit and alongside of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a beautiful thing. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at the idea of the Holy Spirit and this word discernment, the Holy Spirit and discernment. I think it's an important word. I think it's an important part of the aspect of the Spirit-filled life. But you know, the discernment is such an important part of my life in ministry. It's such an important life part of my life just as a Christian. And it's absolutely comes from the Spirit. And so I actually want to just pray right now, because I think it's really important that we invite the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us this morning, to give us clear understanding of what he's trying to share with us this morning. So Father, we pause and we ask, Holy Spirit, we invite you here. We thank you for your presence here even now. We thank you that as we've collectively sang to you this morning, Jesus, in unity, that Holy Spirit, you are here. We give you access. We allow you to reign in these moments. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us, enlighten the scriptures, allow us to see greater application even for our own lives today, Father. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Have you ever known somebody, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's like a spouse, maybe it's your mother, that tends to always know what you're thinking? How many of you guys are like, yeah, like my mom always knew. She always knew, right? You know, we have this ability in our human relationships to actually get to know each other on an intimate enough level that it almost feels like we can read each other's thoughts. I remember working with these two teenagers growing up in my youth ministry, and they were twins, and they looked very similar. They sounded very similar, and it just destroyed me when they would finish each other's sentences, because I was just like, what is going on here? Like, what are you doing? But it's cool that in our experience as human beings that sometimes we see that. You guys know those people that finish each other's thoughts, right? They finish each other's sentences. And you know, the Apostle Paul actually talks about this. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today, and we're going to be jumping around pretty much throughout the whole text. So I know your bulletin says 9 to 16, but we're going to be looking at just 1 Corinthians chapter 2 kind of as a whole today. And the Apostle Paul, he actually has this thought in verse 11. Okay, and he says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And then he says, and likewise, no one can know God's thoughts except for God's own spirit. And that's essentially what we're talking about today. Paul is essentially saying that because we are joyfully spirit-filled, because the Holy Spirit resides within us, we can know his thoughts. Apostle Paul goes actually farther than that, and he actually says in verse 16 at the end, he actually says that we actually have the mind of Christ. We actually possess the mind of Christ. Because we're joyfully Spirit-filled and the Holy Spirit lives within us, we are essentially on the same wavelength as Jesus. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think that's a scary thing. It's almost like superhero-esque, I think, to actually know the thoughts of God. But I really believe that it's actually a reality of the Spirit-filled life to know the thoughts of God. You know, as we think about it for a moment, we get to be so intimately connected to Jesus that we can actually finish his sentences. We can actually read his thoughts. All of a sudden, what he loves is what we love. Whom he loves is who we can love. What he advocates for, all of a sudden we find ourselves advocating for. What he wills, all of a sudden becomes what we will. I really believe we can have an intimate relationship with Creator God in a way that means we get to fully and intimately partner with him and what he's doing in the world around us. And I think that is both a beautiful but yet kind of dangerous thing. So what does this look like? What does discernment look like? What does the Holy Spirit do in us? The question is what is the Holy Spirit's role in discernment? I believe last week, Pastor Phil mentioned and referred to John 14:26. He used the word there. The word there for the Holy Spirit is actually the paraclete, which is the Greek word that is translated as helper. And the Holy Spirit, in this text today, in 1 Corinthians 2, we see is just that, absolutely helping us to discern and to know the thoughts of God and to maybe even possess the mind of Christ. And so we find in a very short time in these verses, specifically near the end, verse 9 says that the Holy Spirit reveals. Verse 10 says that the Holy Spirit searches all things and even the deep things of God. That phrase is actually referring to the mind of God. So the Holy Spirit searches the mind of God. The Holy Spirit, verse 13, teaches us about spiritual realities and allows us in verse 14 to discern spiritual things. So the Holy Spirit's absolutely at work in this, and it's absolutely the Holy Spirit that gives us this ability to actually be this intimately connected with God. And it's a cool thing. I love how one scholar says it. He says this, humanity, apart from the Spirit's help, is actually unable to apprehend sensually or intellectually the glory that God has prepared for those who love him. I love that. The Spirit reveals both sensually and intellectually what God has prepared for us. Let's talk about what the content of God's thoughts seemingly are. See, Paul talks about the content of God's thoughts. And so this is a bit of a ruler for us. When he says in verse 9, he actually talks about how what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can comprehend that which God has actually prepared for those who love him. So he's actually talking about our spiritual reality and what has been prepared for us. Okay? And in verse 14, it says that verse 13, it says that there's the Holy Spirit's actually uncovering spiritual realities, that we're discerning something that is of a different realm. It's not of the flesh realm, but it's of the spirit realm. It's not of this earth, but it's a greater spiritual understanding. Does that make sense? And I think God allows things to come alive for us, even in the physical. But what Paul's actually talking about here, the discernment he's actually talking about here, is that there's a greater understanding of things that are actually spiritual. Okay? And there's actually a comparison or a contrast that those that have not received the Holy Spirit call these things foolishness. They don't understand. They don't see. So there's a greater insight, there's a greater view into the spiritual reality. So, we can both sense with our senses and intellectually discern what's going on in the spirit realm. Verse 9, again, we are reminded I just want to say this verse again. We've heard this verse many times. Probably some people, this is their favorite verse. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can conceive that which Christ has prepared for those who love him. I want to just think about those words. No eye has seen, seeing. Seeing is a sense. It's something we do every day. Okay? In verse 10, it actually says the Holy Spirit will then, these are the things that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal. These are the very things. So no eye has seen, no physical eye has seen, but through the Holy Spirit, God will reveal. No physical ear has heard, but through, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we will hear. I love this one. No human mind can comprehend, can conceive what Jesus is doing in the spirit realm. But yet, through the Holy Spirit, we have greater understanding, greater wisdom. And so we're going to look at these three things, and we're going to look at the two senses, seeing and hearing, and then we're going to end a little bit with the idea of intellect, conceiving, understanding. Okay, I walked upstairs yesterday. I was downstairs working on my sermon, so I was kind of chewing on this idea of seeing in the spirit realm. What does that mean? I was just chewing on it, and I came up, and my cat was standing on the living room table. Okay, and how many of you guys like have noticed your cat at one point or time? Maybe it wasn't your cat, maybe it was your dog, but looking intently out the window at something. Anyone ever had that happen to me? So it happened to them. That's what I did. I walked upstairs, and there's my cat. Like intently focused out the window, just like, right? To the point where like when I like offered her a treat, she was just like just intently focused. So Teresa's like, I wonder what she's looking at. Like, I wonder what she sees. And so we both get behind her and she's like, she doesn't care what we're doing. And we're looking, we're peering out the window. And we cannot figure out what she sees. I don't know what she's looking at. And like, she's so intently focused, she won't even take a treat. Like, she doesn't even care. She doesn't want cuddles, doesn't want catnip, doesn't, like, she's so intently focused on what's out the window. But yet, my wife and I couldn't see it. And we kept watching. She's like, maybe it was a mouse. Maybe a mouse ran by. But whatever it was, we never could quite see what was going on. And this is what the spirit realm is like. When we receive Jesus, when he becomes our Lord and Savior and we receive the Holy Spirit, we can be peering out into what seems like a very natural, normal world, and we can all of a sudden begin to discern a greater spiritual reality. In Kings, 2 Kings 6:15 to 17, there's a story of Elisha, and there's actually a battle going on, and they can see in the physical that there's this army that's coming to attack them, to destroy them, okay? So much so that Elisha's like advisor is like freaking out because it's very clear that they are now like outnumbered. This army is going to destroy them. In the physical, when he's looking at this, he's just doing the math. He's like, we're dead. So he's freaking out. Okay, Bible says that Elisha actually noticed something greater. Anybody remember what Elisha saw? What did Elisha see? Huh? God's army, right? He saw a heavenly army surrounding the army, the physical army. And so he's looking out and it says that surrounding this insane army that's about to destroy them is this heavenly, there's something in the spiritual realm that he's seeing. There's this army. And it says that he actually coaches his advisor and encourages his advisor to see what's greater. God allowed them to see on that day, and I can guarantee you that Elisha's calm was there because God showed them that you have the victory. No matter what you see, no matter what trial is in front of you, no matter how bad it looks, you have the victory. According to what Jesus Christ did on the cross and his blood shed, we just remembered it, we have the victory. And so the spiritual reality started to become real to them in that moment, and they started to see greater than the physical reality. God started to lead them and guide them. And so that's kind of what this looks like, is this idea that God is giving us wisdom, downloading wisdom through sight. Now, I don't think it's always with the physical eyes. I think that this is referring to a spiritual eyes to see. And I know the prophet Joel talked about seeing visions in Joel, Joel chapter 2, verse 27, seeing dreams and seeing visions. And often people that I've talked to that have experienced these spiritual dreams, you know, their eyes are closed. Often people, when they pray, they close their eyes to pray, and that's when they begin to see spiritual visions. Now, I'm not going to put God in a box, but I certainly think that God speaks to us through dreams. And I certainly think that when we close our physical eyes and begin to intercede and pray, that Jesus sometimes shows up with really vivid imagery and visions and clarity of mind. And we start to see these really beautiful things, often in the spirit world, in the spirit realm, that give us peace and give us encouragement. You know, real quickly, I'll never forget where I, in my life, experienced through two other people, one person seeing the physical reality and another person seeing the spiritual reality. As it was said, we're going to Guatemala again, so we got a meeting after church, but we were in Guatemala a few years back. We were driving down the road, and in Guatemala, they drive these big cane trucks, and we were going on like this switchback hill, like literally switchbacks. And the cane trucks are just giant semi-trucks. And in the front seat, one of my chaperones was in the front seat. And what she was watching is that the driver had pulled out to pass this cane truck. And they were halfway between the cane truck and passing it. They were halfway. They weren't all the way. Okay. They're going about 80 kilometers an hour up this hill. And another cane truck was coming in the other lane. Okay, it breached, this is what they said. They said it breached the front of the truck. They were in between the truck, and from their perspective, in the physical realm, okay, there was one outcome, just death, starting to sound like the King's text. There was one outcome, like this isn't going to work well, we're going to be destroyed. In the back of that van was one of my students who was praying. And what she saw was not of the physical realm. She had her eyes closed and she was praying, and she saw the four corners of that van, and there was angels on all four corners. And the person that was experiencing it in the physical realm said, the only way I can describe what happened is we went like this. That's all I can describe. But what the person saw in the back of the van was the spiritual reality. What we found out after is that the driver of that van was up all night in intense prayer. Felt like he needed to intercede, felt like they were in danger, didn't know what was going on, and was just pleading the blood of Christ and praying. So, those weren't my eyes. That's a story that I believe is true. Sometimes I struggle with it, but what if Jesus could actually allow us to partner with him? What if what the physical realm is always presenting is not always what Jesus' spiritual reality is? I think we get to partner with Jesus like that. In fact, I'm confident that Jesus wants us to see what he sees. He wants us to get down beside him as he's peering into this world and not just look intently to try to find what he's seeing. He wants to bring us along. He wants us to see what he sees, and it's a greater reality than the physical one that we live in. Second sense is this idea of hearing. Jesus says in John 10, 27 to 28, he says that my sheep know my voice. There's this understanding, there's this idea that as followers of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we can know the voice of God. We can know his leading. We can know his guiding. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 is this idea that we can, spiritual gifts, Paul's talking about spiritual gifts, we can receive a message of wisdom or of knowledge. This is the kind of thing when you're standing there and maybe you're a baby Christian or you don't even believe in Jesus, and someone walks up to you that's been praying and they tend to know something about your life, and they say, I think God wanted me to share this with you. And then you're just like, because all of a sudden something makes sense. And you're like, wait a second, how did you know that? I've actually had people swear at me saying, how the beep, did they know that? They're just like, what is going on here? Okay. And so I really believe that we can hear what Jesus is up to. He can give us some insight, some greater wisdom. Again, now, I think this is a spiritual hearing, not to discount the fact that God speaks audibly. I have a number of people, one of them in this room right now, that have heard, claimed to have heard the audible voice of God. Not all my friends have that privilege. I've certainly not heard it. But I believe, again, I don't put God in a box. But I know very few Christians that follow Jesus extensively that don't believe that God is absolutely interjecting thoughts and putting things in their mind and constantly working with them all the time in their thoughts. I don't go almost a moment some days without Jesus influencing what I'm believing. Because I, like Paul says, I don't do it well, but I try to pray on all occasions at all times. And when I pray and when I submit myself to Jesus and I posture myself well, I find that he's constantly taking away that thought of rage or taking away that thought of selfishness or reinventing the way I'm thinking about this situation or that dynamic or speaking to me how I just spoke to my wife. Maybe that wasn't okay, Ben, or telling me that I need to love my kids differently. The Holy Spirit is constantly interacting with me through my thought life because I allow him to. And the Holy Spirit, that's what he's supposed to do. Remember, teach, help us to discern, reveal to us, right? So that's the idea of hearing. And again, like I say, it's often in our thought life. And some of you guys know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to hear the voice of God in your thoughts. You know what it feels like to be just, you know, walking in fleshly wisdom and the wisdom of this earth. And then all of a sudden you posture yourself in prayer. I just had a conversation with a young lady this morning. I said, what happened? Like, what changed? Like, you're a different person. What happened? And she just said, I just prayed about it. And everything begins to shift and change. So God wants to interject thoughts. He wants to download and he wants to do it for us and for the sake of the kingdom. Amen. I think God wants to speak. I think if we listen, he wants to speak and he wants to give us an understanding of things that are greater, greater than the earthly realm that we live in. The next one is intellect, this idea of intellect, this idea of you know, God downloading something that no human mind can comprehend. There's this one line, I saw someone with an NF hoodie back there. Who is that? Is that Malachi? Hi, Malachi. There's this one line in a new song from the rapper NF. He's a Christian rapper. And he's actually singing about OCD, but this line's always popped out to me. So he's was diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder. And so the doctors told him what that is. And this one point in the one line, he actually says, he says, I just want to get the line right. So I got to find it. He says that OCD is when a normal thought seems so profound. And the Holy Spirit paused me there. Because that's been put on people as a label tied to something about brokenness in the mind. But the Holy Spirit always pauses me on that line. And he's like, no, Ben, that's what I do. That's what I do. When something that you've always believed about me isn't totally quite right, that's a normal thought. But when I begin to discern it, Ben, when I begin to speak into your life, Ben, that normal thought becomes profound. And it begins to affect you in a way that you never even thought it could. You see, the death and resurrection of Jesus on the cross is something that many of you guys have known. And some of you that have known that for maybe even, say, up to 40 years. If you were being really honest with me, you would say that at times in my life, Pastor Ben, the Holy Spirit enlightened me to a far greater meaning of what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ meant. in our Christian minds, we can know, we can hear about Jesus dying on the cross. We can hear about what he did. But it's another thing entirely when Jesus begins to discern something in the spiritual realm about the importance and the significance and how deep that actually goes. You guys know what I'm talking about? You can know about the love of Christ, but by the Holy Spirit, you experience the love of Christ. I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit whispered to me and he said, Pastor Ben, I want to show them. And there was just an auditorium full of teenagers singing, he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And the worship leader was getting tired and didn't want to keep playing the song. And the kids wouldn't stop. He loves us. The kids, not the leaders, not the worship leader, the kids wouldn't stop singing it. And the Holy Spirit whispered me and he said, Ben, I don't want them to just sing it. I want them to feel it. I want them to know it. And so intellectually, something was happening in those young people where Jesus wasn't just believed in. It wasn't just, I believe in the love of God, but the love of God was melting everything that they ever knew, and it actually changed their reality. When a normal thought becomes so profound, that's what Jesus is doing. I'll never forget, I was walking at the back of this prayer service one night, and the worship leader was playing. And the worship leader is about to sing a line that they had sung many, many times. I knew because I'd been in worship services where they sang that line. And the line was, you're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. But they couldn't sing it. And I was literally walking like to go pray for someone and they stopped. They didn't sing the line. And I'm like, what is going on? And I look up and they're giggling. The worship leader was giggling. I'm like, well, that's not really the most effective like worship strategy. Like you're supposed to be leading us here. The worship leader is giggling and then it turned into like a laugh and it actually became like kind of almost contagious and it was good. It felt good, but it wasn't very effective as far as like artsy goes. Like it just, and so I just paused and I was like, Lord, like what is going on? Like what is happening right here? And the Holy Spirit prompted me and he said, Ben, she just gets it. She gets it. So when he gets what? I'm never going to let her down. She just actually fully comprehends that. You can sing that all you want, but it's a whole nother level when you fully comprehend it. And he says, she just gets it. I said, well, what do you mean, Lord? And he's like, well, it's like a video game. This is like literally a conversation I'm having with the Lord. It's like a video game, you know, that you have like never ending lives in this video game and you never die. You just keep going and you keep going and keep going. And then he says, but even better, it's like falling to your death, but you're laughing. I'm like, what are you talking about, Lord? That's like messed up. And he's like, it's like bungee jumping. You're falling to your death, but you're laughing because you know that every single time I catch you and every single time I catch you. Laughter wasn't what came to my mind in that moment. It was tears. Because I was like, man, what if I believed in the love of God? So the Holy Spirit absolutely allows us to take normal thoughts, thoughts that have become thoughts that about Jesus that we just think about in the earthly realm, and he elevates them to the heavenly realm. And he says, the application to this is so much greater, Ben, so much greater than you fully understand. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, I have not found the end of God's love yet. He continues to give greater revelation. And I don't think there's anything in the spiritual realm that he's not continuing to give us greater revelation on. When a normal thought becomes so profound, I think Jesus wants us to intellectually know him on a level that is so much greater than our physical world dictates. Amen? I just felt like I needed to give a bit of a caution as I kind of end today. You know, to know the thoughts of God. I mean, I've heard the most dysfunctional things uttered after the line, God told me to. The most dysfunctional, the most destructive, the most unchristlike things tend to follow that statement. Well, God told me I could do this. God told me I had to do it, so I did it. Well, God told me, Pastor, that this is how we're supposed to do it, and if you don't do it, then we're going somewhere else. God told me to do this, so my money is getting pulled out if it doesn't look like that. I've seen some of the biggest debates over children and you know, families and their kids, parents fighting with teenagers, congregants fighting with pastors, uttered after a sentence that starts with, but God told me, God spoke to me, God told me to do it. And so that's a problem for me. I'm not going to stand up here today and say that God speaks to us, now go out and destroy. No, no, no. Courtney, if you can go back to that first picture that I had with those two, that grandma and that young lady on that couch. I picked that image because of the intimacy that I see there, because of the joy. You know, there's connection happening in that picture that is beautiful, and it's good, and it's God-ordained. Now, maybe there's a white screen and they're just acting. But you know what I'm saying. Can you go to my last slide there, Courtney? I think one less. Yeah, that one. Not the same thing going on here. God told me to, so this is how we have to do it. That's what that looks like right there. God told me to. You got two Christians, two people that believe in Jesus, two people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they got their arms crossed and they're looking in other directions because God told me to. That is not what the Holy Spirit and discernment looks like. That's not what it's for. And so I wanted to end this morning with just a little bit of an understanding. James, the book of James, if you have your Bibles, you can flip there. And I'm sorry that's small. It doesn't look as small up there, but the book of James, this is what it says, okay? James 3:14-15, it says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, let me say it again, bitter envy. If you harbor envy, and if you're selfish, okay? Bitterness, envy, selfishness in your hearts. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. And it says that such wisdom does not come down from the heavens, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. I don't like this verse. Makes me uncomfortable. You read that? It's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And James is saying very clearly that selfishness and envy are not heavenly wisdom. So they have no place. They have no place in this conversation about discerning God's thoughts. They have no place in this conversation about having and possessing the mind of Christ. You guys hear what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit does not create a couch like this. If you can go to my next slide. The Holy Spirit creates a couch like this. And it's only in the body of Christ that I've seen this kind of intimacy on a level where you've got 20 people, 200 people in a room, and the Holy Spirit is doing something, and it's so profound, and we're seeing, and we're hearing, and we're comprehending things that are greater than our reality. Some of you guys experience it when you come in here and you worship together on a Sunday morning and you're like, why is this so profound? There's no other place in my world where Jesus speaks collectively and unifying. Guys, I've seen people healed without even praying for healing, just because collectively we've waited on the Lord. There's no greater community than this joyfully Spirit-filled community. There's no greater community. But can I remind you, There is no room for envy there. There is no room for selfishness there. And if envy or selfishness are present, you are not hearing the thoughts of God. This is what James says heavenly thoughts are like. Okay, now these aren't exhaustive lists. Pastor Jeff says that all the time, and I believe him. They're not exhaustive lists, but they're good lists to check off. Envy, selfishness, if it's there, get on your knees and pray. But James says this is the what James says in this next verse. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Notice how he doesn't say peaceful. Wisdom from heaven loves peace. What does that mean? There's no room for dysfunction. There's no room for arguments. It loves peace, fights for peace. It's considerate. It's submissive. It's full of mercy and good fruit. It's impartial and sincere. Sincerely impartial. Everybody's on a level playing field. Because God's thoughts are not ours, and God's thoughts are all about you and I. So, as a challenge this week, I don't know if you're tech savvy, but I kind of want us to like copy and paste those words. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. I'm going to copy them after the service, and I'm going to put them as my background on my phone, and so that every time I click my phone, I'm reminded of what a spirit, joyfully spirit-filled community looks like. I'm going to be reminded of what God's couch looks like when we're listening to his wisdom. So if you can do that, you know how to do that, great. If you need to write it down on his post-it note, stick it in your wallet, do whatever you do. But would you reflect on these words? Because this is what the joyfully spirit-filled community looks like. So as you get on your knees before Jesus, would we use this as a ruler? I'm going to turn it into a prayer as the worship team comes. And I just want to say, maybe for you, maybe as you're hearing this today, you just really need your thoughts to be overhauled. You need Jesus to begin to overhaul what you're thinking. And maybe for you, maybe you're sitting there today and you're saying, I think all I've ever had, Pastor Ben, is earthly wisdom. I don't think I've ever actually asked for God to be a part of my life. And so maybe you want to pray along with us this morning. I want to encourage you, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and this morning you're saying, man, I think I need some heaven, wisdom from heaven. That if you make that decision today, we do have people that would love to talk to you after the service and talk to you about that. But for this moment, I want to just pray together. So if we could just close our eyes and bow our heads. Jesus, I pray that you would, again, make something right now that seems normal, profound. I pray, Holy Spirit, I just want to pray through these words that James shares. These words that represent your wisdom, Jesus. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make us pure, that you would make us peace-loving, you would make us considerate, you would make us submissive. Jesus, I pray that we would be full of mercy and of good fruit, that we would be impartial and sincere. We invite you, Jesus. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to make us aware of the greater reality. We partner with you. We want what you want, Jesus. We need what you need. We love what you love. Jesus, would we allow ourselves to be so intimately connected with you that we could finish your sentences? We love you, Jesus. Amen.